I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
What's going down?
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of What's Going Down here on Patreon without any ads or on the main feed. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you doing today?
Kenny, I'm all right, yes. This is not our first recording today, everyone. Kenny and I have already been talking for some time, so hopefully we're warmed up and we're firing on all cylinders from the start of this recording.
No pressure from F. Martin. We just recorded the Backlash 2004 review. It'll be out on Thursday, so to check that out when it comes out. But we are going to be talking about SmackDown Raw as we always do. If you are an AEW fan, you can listen to Sondra and I on Patreon talking about Dynasty. Got a big, you know, almost over 1 hour review of that show. Go check that out. But we will also on Thursday, Finn, be talking about the releases in WWE. There have been a few. So we will be covering them on Thursday. We'll be covering Goldberg's comments on why he will not be joining AEW, which, you know, we'll be dissecting them, and much, much more. But
can't wait for that, Kenny. Can't wait.
Okay, so let's talk about SmackDown first. SmackDown was obviously last Friday, and we were going to find out who was the number one contender to Cody Rhodes' WWE title. LA Knight and AJ Styles opened the show by having the match, and this time AJ Styles got the win, so they're now one apiece. I guess they can have a rubber match down the line, but what did you make of the match of them getting to AJ being the pick?
Yeah, both of them were really over. This was a great crowd. They're in Pittsburgh. They were sold out again. I mean, what a run they're on with the sellouts. They just did tremendous business as well on the it was UK, wasn't it? It wasn't just England. There was a few dates. They were in Northern Ireland as well, weren't they? Yeah, Northern Ireland. So did tremendous business.
Birmingham, Cardiff, London and Belfast.
That's right. Actually, yeah, I know some people who went to the Cardiff date. So yeah, they did tremendous business over in the UK, WWE. And again, another sold out show here in Pittsburgh. And the audience were really into this match from the start. I mean, Knight is still over. I mean, you know, Styles is doing well also. We predicted that Styles would win this match, and he did so. I mean, that was fairly obvious because he didn't want to put Knight up against Cody Rhodes, obviously, because then people might cheer LA Knight, not Cody. We need to be cheering Cody.
I don't think you can quite call us clairvoyant for predicting that one.
But no, exactly. Yeah, it was fairly obvious. And Styles won. I actually didn't predict this, Kenny. Styles won after an eye gouge and the phenomenal forearm. So it was almost a clean win. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, that was interesting. So he it was clean. Is that going to play into, you know, a future rematch? We'll see, I guess. They're one apiece. Do you think, was this any, where did this compare to the WrestleMania match, do you think?
I mean, I think maybe this was more memorable because WrestleMania had so many more memorable matches and bigger matches on it. And theirs just felt like, even though I thought they had a good match at WrestleMania, there were so many matches on the show that meant more. So I thought they did really, really well here. Yeah, but just really, I was really quite surprised by, I wouldn't say the ease with which Styles won, but yeah, I was expecting there to be some sort of distraction or some, you know, more than just an eye gouge. You know, more of a reason, more of an excuse for Knight's losing to Styles. And instead, it was pretty clear cut that Styles was 1-2-3 the winner and he'll go on to face Cody at Backlash. And yeah, I don't know what Knight's going to do next. I mean, fortunately, I think he's established enough now that he can survive this loss. But I was still, yeah, rather taken aback, you know, that he lost like he did.
Well, AJ will be going on to face Cody. They're actually doing a contract signing on this week's SmackDown. We did have a segment where Nick Aldis and Triple H gave Waller and Theory the new WWE tag team titles. I mean, these belts are such an upgrade on the horrible tag team pennies that they've had the last few years. So, be happy at that. Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, and we should mention that Paul Triple H, Levesque, was introduced and the QR code appeared on the screen as he walked out. Triple H was wearing what looked like to me like a Harry Hill shirt. Did you notice that, Kenny?
I didn't think of it that way, but now that you say it, I never thought we'd get a Triple H, Harry Hill comparison. Just Google Harry Hill comedian. I mean, it should really be Harry Hill and comedian in, you know, inverted commas, but, you know, Google it. And you will see what Finn means. But yes, yeah, so they were out there. Then that led to the four, because Aldis defended Triple H because Waller and Theory were basically kind of, you know, refusing.
They were daring to mock him, weren't they? And Aldis was like, if you do that again, you'll be out of here. You're not putting up with that on my watch.
Don't you dare, you know, disparage the good name of Paul Levesque.
Exactly. But
we then got a four-way tag match to determine who's going to face Waller and Theory next. And it was AOP, Legado del Fantasma, Angel and Umberto, New Catch Republic, and the Street Profits. The Street Profits are completely back to their babyface routine, even though they're with Bobby Lashley and
B-Fab.
Why don't... her name escaped me there. I think it's because I was interviewing Swerve last week and I asked him about B-Fab and then... yeah, she was in my brain, but I couldn't quite get to the name. Anyway, the Street Profits were out there with B-Fab and Bobby Lashley, but they're completely back to their old routine. And they ended up winning this match in the end to become the number one contenders. What did you make of the match and the decision for the Street Profits to be the number one contenders?
I mean, I think it's the right decision. I mean, you're thinking, well, it's not going to be the AOP, obviously. Probably not going to be Humberto and Angel. New Catch Republic, they just had the shot, didn't they? Elimination Chamber. So if they were to receive another shot and then lose, it's really inconceivable that Waller, maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Waller and Theory will lose those new WWE tag team belts to the Street Profits. But it seemed to me that was a new match. And I mean, have we seen Street Profits? We've probably seen it, but I mean, it feels like a fresh match. And Street Profits were on fire here. In the end, Dawkins pinned Angel and it would turn into a bit of an epic match. They did far more than I thought they would do in a regular TV match. There was a lot of stuff going on here, wasn't there? There was a lot going on in this match and the crowd were really into it. Really good crowd, actually. Crowd in Pittsburgh were, I thought, really good all night long. Actually, maybe they weren't that great at the main event, but apart from the main event, they were really good.
Yeah, they were good. Elsewhere, we also had... obviously, the follow-up to the Bloodline stuff. We had Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga speaking outside to Paul Heyman. Solo Sikoa wants to know where Kevin Owens was.
Yeah.
And he said that Heyman needs to take him to Kevin Owens. And this ended up with things did not go well for Kevin Owens on this show. What did you make of kind of what they did to Owens on the show, kind of take us through it, and how are you feeling about this new bloodline?
Well, I mean, I can kind of visualize where it's going, and I am really quite excited, you know, to see how this is all going to play out. I think I know. But I mean, at the beginning of the show, earlier in the show, actually, after LA Knight versus AJ Styles, Solo Sikoa was there in a suit. You know, he introduced the newest member of the Bloodline to Paul Heyman. And of course, it's Tama Tonga. And Paul Heyman still doesn't know what's going on. You think, is this some sort of ruse? You know, is Heyman just lulling us into a false sense of security here? And I don't think he is. And then they were in the ring later, and Paul Heyman was trying to reason with Solo Sikoa. Heyman was saying that Solo was making decisions that were above his station. As that turned out, Solo just grabbed the microphone from him, just had enough, and he took over. And fans were chanting, "We want Roman." So we can already see the future, can't we? We know where this is going. And Heyman's just like, doesn't know what to make of any of it. Why is Solo behaving like this? You know, why is he, you know, thinking that he's in charge when he isn't, but he might be in charge and we just haven't been told this yet. And Solo was booed really loudly, actually. It was almost Dominic Mysterio levels of boos that he got. It was quite astounding, really, how much heat he had, because Solo at times in some of his matches, certainly in the run-up to WrestleMania, people were really not that into him. And it feels like people now are, and certainly as a heel, like, well, what's this guy doing? And Solo said that, you know, he had to, you know, lose a brother to gain a new one, meaning the attack, of course, on Jimmy previous week. And then, you know, we saw Kevin Owens, he was hurled out from the back, and he was covered in blood, and Tama Tonga beat him up. And yeah, they really beat him up here, actually, didn't they? The producers came out, and security, and it was quite a big angle, actually. And Owens took a hell of a beating here, and yeah, the whole purpose of this was to establish Solo and Tama Tonga as villains. You're thinking, where's Randy Orton? Why is Randy Orton not coming out for the save? That's what I was thinking. What were you thinking about it, Kenny?
I thought it was a really good angle. I thought that, you know, they needed to make a big statement. Tonga and Solo, they have to do something to kind of make their mark. Owens is a good guy to do that with. I think that I could see there being something where Randy Orton comes back next week or this week and tries to make, you know, his presence felt in it. And there's also PW Insider put a story out saying that Jacob Fatu's debut is imminent. So maybe when Orton tries to, if Orton and Owens try and take down Solo and Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu is going to be the guy to come out and have the numbers game happen. But,
yeah.
But I think they're doing a really good job of having Heyman play the conflicted role, because he is obviously supposed to be there for Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns isn't around. And Solo is sort of demanding Paul Heyman's role as the wise man continues with him. And he's kind of torn about it. So I think they're playing it really well. And the fact that the fans were already chanting, "We want Roman," they must have been salivating backstage thinking, "We've got them
already." And Roman hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, nothing's happened.
Lose to Cody.
And we've already, you know, nothing's happened. And we've got them where we want to be. So I think if you're WWE, you must be kind of, there have been high fives backstage, because this is going exactly in the direction they want it to. And I'm excited to see what goes next. So
yeah, absolutely. We should mention as well that there was like a likely, manufactured like a car crash backstage. We were meant to believe that Kevin Owens was in one of the vehicles and someone had run into him, weren't we? That's what we were meant to believe.
Yeah, that was what led to the segment where Owens was dragged out. Santos Escobar and Carlito Finn, how many stars? 5? 10? Would you give it 15 stars? I mean, what a match.
Oh.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I mean, instead of getting rid of Cameron Grimes, get rid of Carlito.
I know. You'd probably save money. You're probably paying Carlito more than you're paying Cameron Grimes.
I mean, you just can't be asked. It's just so, it's just, you know, apathy is oozing from every pore, isn't it? It's just like, why is this guy here again? And he just can't be bothered. So, I mean, you know what? I mean, at least Santos won, you know, and there was a really naff exchange here between Electra Lopez and Zelina Vega at ringside. I mean, that just went completely wrong. It just looked terrible. Escobar won with the Phantom Driver as well. He should have done. Can you imagine Carlito winning this match? Actually, he won a street fight, didn't he, some weeks ago? He actually did win it. Was that against Santos?
I can't remember. It's so inconsequential that it's left my mind. It's not a great sign, is it?
Was it the one? I think it was the match that... Wasn't it the match that Ray returned in? I think it was.
Yeah, and it kind of went to like a no contest because Ray returned.
Something like that, yeah. But I mean, they were telling us that Carlito is frustrated with the way things are going. We're frustrated every time they send him out to the ring.
Oh, you are right. Street fight, 1st of March, 2024, Carlito defeats Santos Escobar in Glendale.
Yes. Right. Memory hasn't failed me yet.
Then, you know, the main event that you wanted to talk about was, of course, Bayley defending the women's title against Naomi. And it ended up, I mean, the problem with this match, Tiffany Stratton shows up, we should mention. And she kind of, you know, puts a halt to it. We end up with a no contest, and Damage Control are looking pleased because they're in a luxury box looking on. Bianca and Jade want to fight. So we've got loads of stuff going on here in the match. But I think that for me, what made the match a bit of a fail is that they're both babyfaces.
Yeah.
And like Naomi and Jade and Bianca are a really fun trio. So nobody wants to boo them. But then Bayley's just had her big moment, so nobody wants to boo her. So I don't really know what they wanted the fans to do here.
No. And it was in the main event spot. And yeah, it was a strange match, really. So yeah, we had Damage Control in the stands, and then they were confronted by Bianca and Jade Cargill, and you know, that wiped Damage Control, smile of Damage Control's faces. Presumably we're going to get a Belair and Cargill versus Kabuki Warriors match for the tag team belts. No prizes for guessing who's going to win that one. But this main event was pretty flat, and you know, this is like we're headed, it took us back to Bayley pre-WrestleMania, where we were dreading that match with Io Sky. We thought it was going to be a big flop because people were just not really that interested in their story, which was kind of anemic. And then they had that, I thought, was a really good match on the night. And they follow up with Bayley Naomi, and it was just part of the story, Kenny. Let's be honest. You know, this is going to lead to a triple threat, a backlash, surely, isn't it? Or a triple threat on TV, maybe, depending, I guess, on who ends up where in the draft, which is, of course, is only this Friday and the following Monday. So probably people are going to be moved around. But I mean, at least Tiffany Stratton's still in the frame. You know, she lost to Naomi last week or the previous week. You know, I'm a big fan of hers, as people I'm sure will know. And, you know, I see her as, she's the person who can make this match work as a triple threat, isn't she? Because she's got the personality, she's a heel, she's arrogant. People like her or want to, you know, like to boo her. And we know she's going to be a champion in future. Perhaps not just yet. And I think it would be a bit of a disservice to Bayley to take the belt off her at Backlash. But hey, we'll have to wait and see. Maybe the match won't happen at Backlash. I don't know. But we know we're going to get triple threat at some point soon.
So let's talk about Raw, which was just a, you know, top tier episode last night. So much stuff on it. I mean, do you remember the days when we were covering Raw in 2018? It was just dire.
Yeah, hour three was just like, you're just banging your head against the table. on this last hour, and there's all these conspiracy theories about what they want to do is they're basically just telling USA Network, we don't want another hour. We just want to go back to 2 hours. So they're sort of saying to USA Network, don't pay us for that third hour. And then we can go back to 2 hours. And then, like, as if they would do that with all the money they're getting for a 3 hour show. But that was one of the theories being bandied about. But yeah, I remember it, Kenny. And my God, it was dull. It was just 3 hours was too long. And most weeks now, 3 hours is fine.
Yeah, we know they've got so much stuff going on. So let's just try and dive into as much of the big stuff as we can while we've got time left. So we open the show with Jey Uso, who's going to be facing Damian Priest at Backlash for the world title. Jey Uso comes out. He's so over. He was so over. And there was a whole thing about it came out last week, the report that Triple H was actually in agreement with Vince about not having Cody win last year because part of the reason was they wanted to have the Jey Uso thing happen. And if you look at it, even take away the Rock stuff, what last year did for Jey Uso, you wouldn't have this if Cody had just won the belt, I don't think. You know, you
exactly.
So it's helped elevate other people. So he comes out, he's very over. Damian Priest comes out and he's kind of like trying to, you know, be pally with him. He's like, you know, we had that night out once and, you know, and then he said, I paid for your drinks. And then Jey said, I took an Uber, which is, I mean, it's funny, but you don't really want to get into the details of why that's funny. But then they kind of are getting into it and they're going back and forth. And Priest is sort of saying, you know, the officer feeding me to you first. And Jey's like, well, no, they're feeding you to me. You know, you're just the bitch for Dominic Mysterio. And this is when JD comes in. He tries to attack Jey. He fails. And then when Jey tries to do a super kick for McDonough, he ducks. And Priest takes it. So obviously McDonough's kind of failed again at trying to please Damian Priest and Jey. So it was actually very funny how Jey Uso was like, oops, sorry, and went off. So how are you feeling about this, Jey Uso and Damian Priest? I mean, it's not going to set the world on fire as a main event storyline, but how are you feeling about how they're putting it in here for Backlash?
I think there's quite a lot of pressure on both of them at Backlash. Because I don't think many people really see Damian Priest as a, you know, world champion level performer yet. And I don't either. And Jey had that match with his brother at WrestleMania that most people agree was the worst thing on either night. And but happily, he's kind of been rehabilitated since then in the, you know, the match on Raw, and the audience are still firmly behind him. But I think, yeah, they're both going to want to go into Backlash and really deliver. And, yeah, I think it could have been better, this segment. But I understand why it wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. And it's because neither is really at that top level proper yet. But the idea is that you give these people these high-pressure spots so that fans can grow accustomed to the idea of these two being main eventers. Because I don't think anyone's quite there yet. But with a really good performance like, you know, next week on Raw and then a hell of a match at Backlash, that's when, you know, you move the everything gets moved forward and everyone gets elevated or promoted in the minds of the fans. So these are necessary to create in order for people to progress. Otherwise, if you just rely on the same people all the time, you never create new stars. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was electric, this opening segment, but it was necessary because they're trying with these two guys and they want to change the, you know, change the mood on them, you know. And so, yeah, I'm really wishing these two guys all the best at Backlash. I really hope they deliver on the night. And if they do, I think, yeah, we'll revisit this and say, wow, they really delivered. Wow, look at this reaction to Damian Priest now. People see him as a main eventer. They don't yet. I don't think they do anyway.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair point. And it's funny, I was podcasting with Robert Duffin about this yesterday, and he made a really good point about Priest, where he said, the problem for Priest is that everything involved in his world title reign is predicated on what other people are going to do. Drew, Punk, Seth, you know, everybody else. So he's kind of in this tough spot as champ where he's fighting quite an uphill battle. So,
because he hasn't earned it, has he?
Yeah, no, so he's got to, you know, I think what's good for them is they're going to be in France where, you know, this is the first ever PLE or big show. And I don't even think France has had a Raw before, from what I remember.
I don't think so either. I know they do one in Italy, didn't they? Back when they were really big, when Santino was huge. Remember that? Was it when he won the IC belt?
Yeah. That's right. So they, Italy have had it, but France haven't. So the crowd on the night are going to be well and everything on. And I think they've got it in them to have a really good match. But yeah, I'm with you. I also am throwing all the positivity their way. Elsewhere on Raw, we had the return of Gunther, where he came out and said that, you know, his next target is to be the King of the Ring. He said he's already the ring general. He's going to be the King of the Ring. Then they had the New Day come out. Xavier Woods talked about how he's the defending King of the Ring. And this led to a tag match with Kaiser and Vinci against the New Day, where the New Day won. And then post-match, Gunther was just really angry at Vinci because he was the one that took the pin. And Kaiser had to do the hit, Finn. He had to take it at Vinci in a, I thought, a pretty brutal attack. It looked great. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I thought at first it's like, you know, are these two coming out because he was like, Kaiser's there, like, kissing him and hugging him? It's like, you know, wow, you know, we didn't know this about these two guys. And then it was like the mafia thing, wasn't it? Where, you know, murderers come with smiles. It was a bit like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I also like the idea that he, you know, you could see in theory that Kaiser would be thinking, oh, I love you, you're my brother, but I have to do this. You know, it's I can't go down with you. And you sort of saw him having that in him. But I mean,
what a pasting. And then afterwards we saw Kaiser went up to Gunther backstage and Gunther was pleased. You know, you're thinking, well, is this to create a spot for Ilya? But Ilya Dragunov's obviously been presented as a face, hasn't it? Yep. So maybe not. And you sort of figure that Ilya and Gunther will probably do the match before they become partners. But yeah, they spent a long time on this beatdown. I was amazed by how brutal it was. And the fans, this wasn't a ha ha ha, you know, this is awesome. This was like people were shocked, you know, the viciousness of this assault on Vinci, who'd been a teammate of Kaiser's and Gunther's for ages. So yeah, it was, I thought it was really well done, actually. And I'm hoping we're not going to be reporting on Thursday, Kenny, that Vinci has been released, because I don't fancy his chances on his own.
Yeah, I think he's in a bad spot. I actually thought the bit where Kaiser came back to do the kind of like kick onto his head on the ring steps was just so well done. It looked great. I actually also am weirdly into the idea of Gunther becoming King of the Ring, because if he can save the IC title, Finn, maybe he can bring back the prestige of King of the Ring.
Well, you know, stranger things have happened.
I mean, he can't do any worse than fucking Xavier Woods.
Was it Baron Corbin? I mean, Sheamus was another really bad one. You think, oh, he's going to be great as King of the Ring. No, he wasn't. He was terrible. So I'm still waiting for them to change the name of the show like they did last year.
It's wild. But I think he's a good person to be doing it. I think he, you know, because Gunther's not a comedy guy. So they're not putting him in this King of the Ring thing unless they think it's something he can. And he doesn't really need to have a big crown and scepter. He'll just be in there saying, I'm the King of the Ring.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he mentioned, you know, thanks Sami Zayn for relieving him of the burden of being a target and being the champion. And he was just sort of saying as well that, you know, I've been IC champ. I was champ for 666 days. Greatest champ ever. Held it longer than anyone. You know, that chapter of my career is now ended, and I'm moving on to King of the Ring.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's I'm into it. I'm intrigued to see where it goes. So we had that. Then we had Drew McIntyre coming out to cut a promo, talking about how, you know, the crowd were chanting CM Punk, and he says, you know, why do you chant him? He hates you. You know, he only loves himself. And he's sort of waxing lyrical about, you know, his situation and the Money in the Bank cash in and Punk and everybody else when Sheamus's music hits and he comes out. It looks like he's already lost a fair bit of weight from last week, which is crazy. He was able
to... I mean, what? I mean, there was so many comments about that last week, and they just worked it all into this segment, didn't they?
Yep, which was kind of genius. So Sheamus comes out and he's sort of saying, you know, you need to let this go, and I'm going to give you some hard truths. You know, you let an obsession a one-armed CM Punk kicked your ass. And then Drew says, well, if you want truths, you know, you used to do banger after banger, but it seems like in your time off, you've had burger after burger. Which, I mean, it's great they're working it in. I mean, the thing is, Sheamus is not in any way overweight. He's a guy who came back and wasn't as lean as he was before, and already in a week, he's got himself in better shape. But why not bring it into the story? Makes sense.
Exactly. And he said, listen, I can lose the weight, you know, but you can't change yourself, mate. You know, I'm telling you this. I'm giving you these hard-hitting home truths. Actually, that was a Nathan Fraser thing, that wasn't it? Sorry. I knew he was telling him that. You know, I'm saying this to you, Drew, because I'm your friend. And then Drew actually watched the match, didn't he, from ringside, the match that Sheamus then would have for Shinsuke with Shinsuke Nakamura. Should also mention as well that Drew said he was going to enter the King of the Ring tournament.
Yeah, so he's gonna target that as well. I mean, you know, the King of the Ring this year actually looks like it could be a hell of a tournament. It doesn't look like a joke anymore.
No.
Xavier Woods will be nowhere near that final. he'll be not a chance. But yeah, so Sheamus ended up... And what I liked about this was they're telling some sort of story. We don't know what it is, but the story is that... And, you know, this is something we wouldn't have got in the Vince era, which I feel like I say every second week or so. We wouldn't have got these sort of layers of...
No.
This no, no.
We wouldn't have done. Yeah, and just harking back to so many things that had happened previously. And Vince, it was like he didn't give people enough credit. That was something that always really annoyed me about him. It's like, well, people can only concentrate on one thing at once. And that was his mindset a lot of the time when it came to his stories that he told. Sometimes he was so simplistic, you're thinking, just give us more depth. We can take it. We want it. We demand it, in fact, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, the line that I thought was really good here was because, you know, Sheamus was coming out and sort of as a friend in character going, you need to let this go. You need to move on. You know, you let this consume you and that cost you the title. And then Drew says, nobody should know how much Punk hurt my career when I was a kid more than you. Because he was there for him. They were best friends. So there's layers to this. Drew said he was going to sit and watch his match. He was cheering for Sheamus at the end. So this could go in either direction. This could go in a they feud again. It could go in a team. So I like the unpredictability of it.
Yeah, I find it... What I find amusing about this is how they managed to keep it together. Because we know they've been pals forever.
Yeah.
And they're out there. And I guess, you know, they've worked together so many times now that you think, are they going to try and, like, make each other, like, crack up? And I think probably at that point where they're beyond that now because they're making so much money and they're such big names and it's obviously very serious to them.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm so happy for them that they're in this position. I turned around to my other half when we were watching this and I was like, and I don't mean this in a bad way. I didn't think Drew had this in him, this run. I just didn't think that he had this in him and he's never, you know, now he's got a chance to show it and what he can do. And like even the facial expressions when Sheamus was talking, it was like, it was almost movie acting levels of how good he was in reacting to stuff. And you don't say that about a lot of people in wrestling. So
yeah, yeah, just not over, he was not over selling anything. And he was kind of underplayed. Yeah. But he's got a real sort of aura to him, real menace. There's a real sort of quiet intensity to him.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what makes it work. And because we know these two have known each other pre-WWE, we can believe whatever they said. We could probably believe it unless it was so outrageous. I mean, you're right about Drew. You go back and look at 2014 when he was given the boot and it was the best thing that ever happened to him, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, I worked with Drew in some of the shows when he was, you know, he was, like, by 2016, he was well into his indie run. But, like, he would backstage carry him. It's interesting that him and Cody are the two guys who, when they were doing these shows in the UK, they were so involved with everybody. Like, they were never away in a dressing room of their own or whatever. They were always helping people, chatting to people, locker room leader type people over here, and you could just see that they were destined to go back. There was just and they both were going to prove a point as well. They were both going to prove you guys.
But I mean, sometimes in wrestling, you're not ready for the big time, and some people are never ready, and some people need this huge jolt and a huge shock to the system. It's like, well, you're not taking this seriously, or whatever. There's a reason why you're not where you want to be in this promotion, and sometimes it's because it's just not your time and there's too many people blocking your path to the top, and you really just need to go away and work elsewhere and hone your craft and work out who you are, and then come back when you're ready for the top and when we're ready to push you to the top.
Yeah. Chad Gable, so we had Sami Zayn being interviewed about Chad Gable, and he said he was going to listen to what Gable had to say, but then he was attacked by Bronson Reed, and Bronson Reed said he's coming for him. So, you know, long-term storytelling there with that, because that's been a few weeks in the making. And Gable was out there with Otis, Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri behind him. They were all kind of had their heads down as if they were in trouble.
And were they ever?
And he chastises all of them, calls Tozawa Mr. Funny Man that does his little dance after all these losses. Maxine's as pretty as a princess, but dumb as a box of rocks. And Otis, his prized pupil, who has been the biggest disappointment of them all. And he said, we are going to all win back my Intercontinental Championship together, or we're all going to win my Intercontinental Championship together, and you're going to help me no matter what, right? And he makes them all agree. And this was tremendous. I couldn't have written a better segment to follow up than this, because in wrestling before, you would have just had Otis and Tozawa and Maxxine Dupri be really annoyed with him and they'd have broken up and he'd beat them up and that'd be it.
Yeah.
We've got more layers and we're getting more storytelling, and you know, we're going to get a journey before we get the Creeds, which I'm very happy about. What did you make of this?
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I mean, these guys, particularly Tozawa and Otis, should be, you know, pleading or sending out a prayer for this thing to go as long as possible, because I don't fancy their chances when Gable kicks them to the curb, which we know he's going to do at some point, because they don't want to break the rules to help Chad win the IC title. They're secretly, well, not even secretly, it was very obvious, it was painted on their faces, but they're so scared of Chad they can't tell him. They're like disgusted with what he did to Sami Zayn last week in Montreal. And they just can't believe that this guy they looked up to would stoop to those depths in front of Sammy's wife. But they're, you know, thinking, well, we're part of the Alpha Academy and this is our guy and he's our boss and we've got to listen to him. So, yeah, I mean, I thought all of them did well here. I'm not quite sure how it's going to play out. I imagine they're just going to continue to disappoint Chad, and then eventually the Creeds will come along and maybe help him win the belt. I don't know. But then you've got potentially Creeds versus Otis and Tozawa. That could go for a while. Yeah. So maybe there's a bit of, you know, some legs in that. I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you, Kenny. This is something that you're right. 3 years ago, when Vince was running the show, this would have just been, Chad would have done the heel turn. Then the next week, there would have been like, you know, Otis and Tozawa would have been there backstage. You know, I can't believe you'd just done that, Chad. And Chad would just, you know, told them to go to hell. And then the week later, Otis and Tozawa would have been sacked. They would have been released, and it would have been over, wouldn't it?
Yep.
And also, remember Heavy Machinery? Remember Otis's partner? It was over for him in rapid fashion, wasn't it?
Was his name Tucker?
Tucker, yeah. It was unbelievable. You know, when that ended, he was gone so quickly.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about this is, I think if you're Tozawa, you're fucked. Basically, I mean, once this is over, you're back to main event. I think Otis, depending on how he does in this, I could see him, I think there could be a space for him with the Creeds and Gable if he wanted to if it fit. I don't think that's possible, but I think he's the only one that could potentially move over with, and I could see Gable kind of try to fight for that to happen, because what else is he going to do?
Exactly. I mean, Otis is, you know, was a genuine amateur wrestler. I mean, I think he's obviously going to have to change the character, and he does this buffoon character so well. That's the problem, isn't it, for Otis?
Yeah. But, you know, if he was in there with Gable and the Creeds, I'm sure he could do it. He could change. You know, they're like best pals, aren't they, Gable and Otis? They live down the road from each other.
Hopefully Chad, will put in a good word. I'm sure Otis right now is fretting. He's going to be, isn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Then elsewhere on the card, we had the main event, which was the 15-woman battle royal for the vacant women's world title. We had this great single shot, which we seem to get once a week now, where we started with Indy and Candice being interviewed by Jackie Redmond, and then as that's happening, it pans away to a fight that's happening with Liv Morgan and Nia Jax. Then Becky Lynch comes by and asks Jackie if she can take the mic and give this a whirl. And then she basically walks through the backstage area, gives Maxxine Dupri a pep talk, and then comes out for the match and says to Triple H, we'll need to take a new photo. Get your camera ready. I mean, it was great. It was just so fresh. Sometimes it feels like watching WWE now, we're finally getting to see colour and we had black and white for a while.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. It is. It's just like so much more adventurous, isn't it? And it feels like everything was so micromanaged, you know, down to every detail previously. And it does feel more spontaneous now in some ways. In fact, in many ways, actually.
Yeah, I think it does. So the Battle Royal had, you know, various people in it. It had Becky, obviously the big players, Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Liv Morgan, and we had other people like Chelsea and Piper Niven. We had Ivy Nile, Candice and Indy.
Actually, Maxine had a decent night. She eliminated both Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, didn't she?
Yeah, she eliminated them. She actually had a pretty good face off with Nia Jax.
Yeah.
She had that but it all came down to Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan trying to get rid of Nia Jax, which they did. And then it came down to Morgan and Lynch, where Morgan was manhandled, slammed onto the apron, and that caused her to fall onto the floor, give Becky Lynch the win. This was a thought that occurred to me during the show, and this is not a bash at AEW, but it will sound like one. And I think that if you're Tony Khan, you should watch this Battle Royal and just watch that this was in the main event of Raw, and it felt like the main event of Raw. It felt like it belonged in the main event. And I think what you want to get is you want to get to a point where the women feel like big enough stars and the fans are into it enough that this could be the main event of a Dynamite. Not the main event of a Rampage, but the main event of a Dynamite. Because this was the Raw main event and this felt like it to me. So I think that you want to, whatever they're doing, I think you want to be replicating that because Nia Jax, she was someone who 18 months ago we thought was a write-off. We would never have predicted that she's back. And look how good she's been. She was
She'd been great in this villain role. And
the whole part of this match, she was without her, half the spots in this match don't work because she's sort of holding it together. So I thought this Battle Royal was a pretty big triumph, and I think Becky getting the win is good because then Liv Morgan can hopefully go full heel and take the belt off her. But yeah, I thought this was a big success.
Yeah, I thought the ending could have been slightly better. I thought the ending was a bit scrappy. It was almost like, you know, I think they could have made it more dramatic at the end. That would be really my only complaint. And I thought the actual manhandle slam onto the apron was a bit weak, to be honest with you. But I mean, yeah, Lynch was the right person to win. In some ways, you'd say Liv Morgan, but it's like, well, I think Liv needs more of a journey before she becomes champion. You know, let's just see. Because, you know, if you put the belt on Liv too soon, you could potentially replicate what happened in 2022. You know, I think she has to be seen to have earned it more than she has done so far. So I think it was the right decision putting it on Lynch. She'd obviously done the job to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. So in fans' minds, it sets up, you know, the Lynch versus Ripley rematch. And we know Ripley wants revenge on Liv Morgan for injuring her. So you've got two things waiting there for Rhea Ripley when she returns in July or whenever it is. It was good. I mean, you've got to remember SmackDown, that was Bayley versus Naomi on top. So it was women in the main event of consecutive episodes of SmackDown and Raw.
I don't know if I'd shout from the rooftops about the SmackDown one.
No, that's like, well, I wasn't doing that earlier, but you know, the only thing I can say about it is that hopefully it will lead to something with Tiffany Stratton. But it was a bit of a flop as the main event. But this wasn't, and this, you know, the audience were really pleased to see Becky as champ, and she went into the crowd afterwards to celebrate with them, and you know, and a big comeback for Becky Lynch as well after, because we were trying to work out what was going to happen after she lost to Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. And none of us could have predicted that Rhea would be injured and would have to vacate the championship. And here she is back on top.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's good for her. Good for her that she's back. And I think, you know, Becky's someone who, what's really impressive about her is that she is absolutely at a point now in her career where she could kind of give 70%, give 60%, you know, because she's so established.
Yeah.
But you get the feeling that she's still fighting to be a top name. You know, she really, and she's also doing it in a way where she's working with other people, elevating them. We saw when she went down to NXT and worked with Tiffany Stratton. I don't think Stratton would be as big a name on SmackDown right now if it wasn't for Lynch, to be honest. I think she...
Oh, no, and she put Lyra Valkyria over as well.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I'm not the greatest fan of Lyra, but she's a much bigger star than she was. You know, so, yeah, she... You're right, yeah. You absolutely... And it was quite funny when she did that interview with the MMA Hour interview with Ariel Helwani, and she was quizzed about the rivalry between her and her husband, Seth Rollins. And were they still trying to one-up each other? And she was like, well, not anymore, but they had been. And, you know, I thought that was quite an interesting exchange there. And the way she answered it made you think that it could have actually been a problem in their relationship. Because, like, they were both trying to, well, I'm a bigger star than you type thing. I don't know whether it was or it wasn't, but it was an interesting exchange. And I'm sure now she's far more relaxed than she was a few years ago about her status. Because she probably thought, am I gonna make it long term as a main eventer? And you know, you just don't know, do you? Because some do and some don't. But she's absolutely established as a top performer now. She's fine, but that took a few years for her to reach the point where she knew she would be.
Yeah, big success. So I mean,
yeah,
really good episode of Raw. That's all the time we've got for today. We'll be back on Thursday. Lots to discuss. Goldberg releases, lots of stuff. And there'll be more by Thursday. So thank you for all your support. Really appreciate all your support on Patreon. But we should mention, we've not mentioned it, the Power Slam Yearbook 1995 Volume 1 is up for pre-order now at powerslammagazine.com. The pre-orders are already in, so please do go, you know, order your copy now. I was tasked with it yesterday, having a last look over it to see if I could spot anything. I spotted nothing wrong whatsoever. It was a perfect piece of business, Finn.
Oh, at the introduction and the other piece as well. Yeah, I was spent some time on them. I spent some time on them.
They really, you know, set up the issues. They really sort of set the scene for what people are going to get. And it, you know, there's something else in there that's in there that I've... Have you said it's in there? Or you, I don't know if you've announced it or not, if you've said that it's...
It's something from Ernie Santilli, who was obviously contributed the Staley Ware Manor column back in the day. And he's done like a 2 pages there. So I hope people will enjoy that. And I felt like he should contribute something to the thing to explain to the yearbook, to explain what the purpose of the character was back in 1994, 1995.
Yeah. And it's kind of left in a way where, you know, it definitely feels you could hear more from him in future volumes. So I'm sure that's the idea. I'm sure that you're leading me down a garden path here, Finn. But anyway,
no, that is the plan in future. Yeah, I was speaking to someone today about another potential thing that could be in a future yearbook. I'm not going to mention that because I haven't even spoken to the person who I'm hoping is going to contribute to a future yearbook, and he hasn't even spoken to him yet. I don't know whether he's going to do it or not. Hopefully he will, but you know, when I get the green light from him, we can talk about that at a later date.
Yes, we're going to be having, obviously, you can pre-order that right now. It's going to be at mid-May, so do go check that out. It's a great, great book, and I can't wait for you guys to read it. So thank you for all your support, as always, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.